Nigeria is a large oil-rich nation. By contrast, Rwanda is small, landlocked, and relatively poor in natural resources. So instead of turning to industries that extract riches from the ground, Rwanda is hoping to fuel economic growth by becoming a regional services center and IT hub, kind of like the Singapore of Africa. In the process, it's looking to China and others for help, but on its own terms. The world's Mary Kay Magstad reports from the Rwandan capital, Kigali.
Rwanda is the most densely populated country in Africa. Competition for land was one of the factors that drove the genocide in 1994. Some 800,000 Rwandans died, about 1 in 10. Rwanda has since come back to life. In the capital, Kigali, new construction abounds. The government hopes to draw more people from farms to cities to transform Rwanda into a high-tech, knowledge-based services center for the region.
If you want to reach the moon, you aim for the sun.
Patrick Nirishima heads the Rwanda Development Board's Department of Information and Communications Technology, or ICT.
Right now, we have got several areas that we consider high priority. The first one is skills development, ICT skills, as well as general IT literacy for people to take advantage of technology is very key.
Already, the government has laid 1,500 miles of fiber optic cable, gotten computers into rural schools, and set up an online service so farmers can check crop prices on their cell phones. 1 in 10 Rwandans are now online, and the numbers are growing fast, especially as the price of smartphones drops. Edward Yin used to run a cell phone assembly plant in Rwanda, getting the parts from China. But since Rwanda eliminated the sales tax on smartphones and computers to encourage sales, Yin has changed his strategy.
Policy now is no tax. So I have no reason to assemble it here at some cost. We can import directly from China and do some treaties more easier.
Yin thinks Rwanda has a good chance of succeeding in its vision to become a regional services center. And he says there's one thing Rwanda does better than anyone else in the region.
The government is very powerful and strong.
Not corrupt?
No corrupt. That is true.
And is that good for business?
Difficult to say, huh? Maybe sometimes if corruption maybe can help to do business, to be frank.
When a Chinese company got the bid to build a big conference center in Kigali, the Rwandan government put a German manager at the helm to ensure quality control. Yin says he's heard some of the Chinese who work on the project grumble. But Yin's friend, Li Jianbo, likes doing business in Rwanda. Li is the general manager of China Road and Bridge Corporation, one of China's biggest state-owned enterprises.
No corruption, and the businessmen can feel comfortable. So the investor like to come here.
Some do. At a regular Friday happy hour, Chinese managers gather at Yin's restaurant, which he runs in addition to his cell phone import business. The ones here are bullish on Rwanda, but Yin says more Chinese investors might be here if Rwanda changed some things.
I think Rwanda very strict. If foreigner came here like a businessman, what they need is a profit. If you cannot get profit, nobody wanna come.
Can you give me an example of a situation in which they're strict?
I think the tax is too high.
Higher than in neighboring countries, some of which barely levy taxes on the minerals Chinese companies extract. But Rwanda is carving out a different role for itself, a different kind of relationship with Chinese and other foreign investors. So it's picking and choosing what works best for it, said President Paul Kagame at a recent news conference.
If you are inviting investment to come to Rwanda, you really want investment that will benefit the investor, but will also benefit Rwanda, where the investment is made. How does it benefit Rwandans? It's capital that comes in, it's technology, it's employment.
Kagame has a clear vision of what he'd like Rwanda to become, a sort of Singapore of East Africa. Small, yes, but prosperous, modern, and efficient. He's got a little of former Singaporean leader Lee Kuan Yew in him. Like Li, he's fiercely intelligent, strong-willed, and not averse to using a little velvet-gloved authoritarianism to get things done or to silence criticism. Unlike Li, he's a former guerrilla leader who came to power in the midst of a genocide and, however imperfectly, has pulled his country back together.
We need to just get up and face up to these challenges and then dignify ourselves by doing that. And for me, it's a very challenging situation, but it's very exciting. I enjoy these battles very much.
The battle now is to ensure a better future for Rwanda with enough economic opportunity that have-nots never get tempted again to stir old ethnic animosities for their personal gain. So far, it seems to be working. For The World, I'm Mary Kay Magstead, Kigali, Rwanda.